Meeting to order. This is Rogers Water Works and Sewer Commission meeting for October the 21st. We have two sets of minutes that we would like to review. First, minutes from the September 23rd, 2024 meeting. That is our regular meeting. So those minutes have gone out, and I would entertain motions.
I would make a motion to approve minutes from September 23rd.
Second.
We have a motion second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Those minutes are approved. In office of the record, since we wanted three, I will be voting. The next, we have action minutes from October the 10th. That was a special call meeting. One item on there. Same thing, would entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Same sign. Motion carries. They are approved. Okay, thank you. The next, we have reports. We have financial report. Mr. Seaman, good afternoon. Thank you for being here.
Looks like this is just the agenda. Do we have the packet available as well?
To get it on here.
It's okay. We'll take just a second.
You can continue on all here.
If you have your summary.
I have my notes.
And we have our packet, so if you'd like, just go ahead.
You do have your packet.
Okay.
I have limited sheets that I printed out.
I apologize. I should not say it. I print mine. I'm the guy at the office that prints everything. So let's just.
Can pull it up.
You all come
yeah,
in.
Go,
yeah,
go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and move forward, and then we'll get, if we need to pause, we can pause and pull it up.
All right, well,
thank you.
My format's the same as it is every month, so
awesome.
If you recall that, I'll just give you the numbers. This is, of course, for the month of September. Bill revenue and consumption. Consumption, we showed down year over year in the water fund. Down 1.2% and sewer down 2.4%. That might be a little counterintuitive given how dry the month of September was. I think it's worth mentioning that these are billed consumption numbers, and so we bill once a week and we bill in arrears. And so the numbers that we are reporting here are in part related to actual consumption from the month of August as well. So for just looking at the consumption in the month of September, we actually purchased, well, for context, you don't have it there, but billed consumption was 388 million gallons. Purchased consumption was 399 million gallons. And it was compared to 361 million gallons from September of last year. So it's an actual increase of about 38 million gallons in the month of September compared to the prior September. That helped me make a little bit more sense of numbers that felt like they should have been an increase. And the wholesale purchase was in fact an increase. Billed revenue for water is up 2.1%. Billed revenue for sewer is up 1.3%. In terms of our actuals versus budget, 3 months into the year, we are using 25% as sort of our benchmark. Revenues for the water fund are tracking above that benchmark at 31.3%, with expenses tracking below at 23.6%. For sewer, revenues are also tracking above at 27%, with expenses below at 23.1%. And in terms of our capital outlays compared to how we had projected them for the year, water is at 8.6%. Sewer at 7.9%. terms of our year-to-date income or loss, it is income. Water year-to-date income is 19% higher than this point in the fiscal year last year. And sewer, there we go, year-to-date income is at 42%. So here's water. You can see our net income for the month of September was $837,000. Total through 3 months is 2.1, almost 2.2 million, or 19% better than this same time last year. And then down here on sewer, we had net income of $732,000. Sums up to just under $2 million, about 42% better than these same three months in 2023. So a good start to FY24. Helped in part by finally a good month for impact and access fees. Of course, we started out pretty slow in July and August. We did collect $482,000 in the month of September, so that puts us at $641,000 through 3 months. That's 21% of last year's total and 30% now of our FY25 budget. So we caught back up there. Finally, other financial reporting items. Total unrestricted and restricted funds are at $54 million compared to 51.9, same period last year. And our 12-month rolling average for lost water is 8%. I'll also note that we had been aiming to have our auditors present at this meeting for our FY24 financials. We still have some outstanding questions we're trying to get resolved as it relates to funds being passed through the state, both our ARPA funds and our ANRC bond that we're drawing down for the solids handling project. And so we're trying to get on the same page with each other and with the state on that and make sure that our reporting and compliance is where it needs to be. So at this point, I would just tell you we expect to be here next month with that presentation. That concludes the report.
On financials, any questions? All questions?
No.
Thank you for improvising to begin with.
Thanks, IT. No. Got it figured out.
We can't do it. Got to have IT. Okay, we have the next item on our agenda. We've got our engineering report.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello. Sir.
Welcome. I'm not Mr. Sartain. Time with his kids plan, so. And I'll give you a warning, I do like to bring in interesting things. So I think last time we talked about the new GIS maps, I've got to ask Mr. Capote to come and talk about our new inspection processes. But what we normally talk about here, we've got our plans coming in. You can see that they are still hanging out around the tornado damage and then Pinnacle. But it's stayed pretty consistent for its location of new plans coming in. I will note, and you can see we've got quite a few different types of plan review here. These are the commercial section, but with the new UDC that got approved, next month we will start having some of the new UDC plan review processes start appearing. So you'll notice some new types of reviews popping up on this list next month. We've had a few bids come in, so I'll be back up here to talk about these. And we did finally finish out our sewer rehab projects for this year, which is, of course, why we've kept the new ones on there, getting ready to get some new ones started back up. Out at the pollution control facility, we've got our permits under review right now, but Crossland's planning on starting work this week. And then you can kind of see, if you remember, the solar array setup, this little image of where they plan on locating those. Comparatively, you can see the little entrance drive there. That's where they're planning on putting the solar arrays for the city of Rogers.
I've got a question. Have I been asleep? I guess I missed this, and when I saw this in the packet, so I'm just going to kind of clean the solar array thing. Has it been out there that I just missed it, or is it something?
I'll answer that.
And I'm just pleading that. So if I did, I'll just embarrass myself.
Now, this is the first time you're seeing...
Solar array? What are we talking about?
The city had been planning this. This is the city's.
Okay, it's not us.
Yes.
Well, it is us.
Very quickly, because somehow to get the funds, they had to begin construction by the end of this month. By the end of next month, for sure. It came about quick. David Hood called, said, hey, we've got to put those in. We do have some obsolete sprinkler risers out there that have to be taken out before they do this, so...
But this is a solar field, and it's the city of Rogers. It's not just RWU.
Yes, sir.
Because when I saw this, I'm thinking, and I just thought, well, maybe I just, you know, I try not to miss anything.
I'm guilty, too. This is the first time I've seen of it.
So if you could just, if you could realign, where is this proximity-wise? So I see the road. Help me figure where it is.
Yes, this is the entrance drive off of Pleasant Grove Road.
There's a fire station.
The fire station.
This is the fire station.
Right down here. Yeah, the fire station is kind of just off the map.
And the upper right is our back entrance to the park.
And then, yes, sir, we've got the gate. You can kind of see the gate right there, how they realigned it. Rainbow is going to be off to the side over here.
Well, has it? And not that it's not us.
They're going to do two, they're doing one.
But has it been publicized? I mean, I
think they did this, it was quite some time ago that they...
Okay. Some grant money.
A third party in there is going over all their energy.
So where's the, okay.
Two of these were originally planned, just one.
Okay. Well, it's city owned, and it just, okay.
Huh.
I'll second that. I'll get to hear what the folks out there think about that.
Well, hopefully it was a nice grant.
I think it's a nice field.
I hope so.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
So we had the Pinnacle work out there. They've got one manhole still remaining to be done, and then our cleanup, so topsoil, sidewalks, that type of thing. But we are... The goal is in sight now. And then for a little bit other news here, we've got our lead and copper rule changes. So Mr. Biden put in that we were going to make available to the public lead and copper. So we've gotten all of our inventory done of anywhere that we suspect lead, which we have zero locations that we believe lead to be in our system. But, of course, we've got all of this information available to the public. If you go on our website, we've got, I've got to find my notes here, but it was under the Your Water section on our website. And then there's a little link down there for LCR, Frequently Asked Questions. It gives a good rundown of all the information that we've got. And there's a link to a GIS map. So if anybody has any questions about their specific site, then they can zoom in, click on their water meter, and see all the information we have about it.
This was mandated.
Right. This was so it was all mandated to be done and available. Goodness, was it the 16th of October?
Yes.
And so we've got all that publicly available now.
So on your water or the section on our website, so we've identified. Is there anything in there that says what we're doing now that we've identified? Is there anything else that's required other than we've identified here's where this is where it may be, but what's the next step? So have we done anything there?
There are next steps in there.
Okay.
That we put a giant amount of money. Not all of it's there, but the biggest thing was the inventory. So we had to get the inventory available. They don't know what the next steps are because a lot of this is on private and public, and private property, which we, there are a lot of things that have to happen before we can take our funds and jump on private property. But right now, you've got four different things you can be lead, for sure not lead, or that you were built after lead was long gone, like 1980 something, and then unknown. So we have a lot of unknowns in the older part of town. And that just shows that they can go out and try to find out what they've got. They call a plumber. You know, there are extremely clear Right now, what we needed to have in place is the inventory, and that's what's...
But that's inventory.
We'll wait next step.
Brent, I'm sorry, and Aaron, this is our inventory, RW's inventory. It's not from our line to the house. This is our lines only. And
no, sir. This includes private.
We have the homeowners that we did an inventory on that we submitted to the health department.
Okay.
And we did a study of those, and then we submitted that, and now the unknowns is in that area that we have to, they have to be notified within 30 days of the unknowns.
But the onus is on the homeowner.
Yeah, but that's on the homeowner.
Okay, that's what I was trying to get. Yeah. And even when you identify, it's the homeowner's responsibility. If they, now they've been identified, if they want to do something about that.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That's what. Okay.
Well, unless the government changes it later
and requires it. So not to be dumb, but how do you determine that? Is that a tool that you use, or?
Predictive modeling, thank you. I was trying to think that word. We did predictive modeling, and we brought in a bunch of our older employees and even people that used to work here from way back when. And we did, and we narrowed it down to a section of town where lead possibly could have been. And through records from Benton County, through other records and everything, so we narrowed it down to like this section of town right over here. And then we went out and took all of those, did our predictive modeling, and submitted it to the health department. And they come back with a number of how many we had to go out and expose on our side and on the homeowner's side. And we went out and did that and submitted that number to them. And that was where we, now we have those unknowns in this area over here. We have where we know we don't have any lead. But we do have some, galvanized requiring replacement because we can't guarantee that there was never lead upstream from it because we can't. Rogers wasn't good at keeping records either by the water department or the plumbing inspectors and stuff back in the day. So, we can't guarantee that. So, but that's up to the homeowner. We don't have to do that. So they'll be notified of that.
A lot of work.
All right, and then we've got an update. We wanted to make y'all aware that on our Poplar Street, 1st to 8th, we're planning, or it looks like we will be using most of the owner's allowance on this project. We had a bore underneath 8th Street that we were originally planning to open cut. There's a pretty large storm box that there's no way to bore that in. It's going to have to be open cut. And the assumption was made that we would be able to open cut them together at the same time. RDOT did not agree with our assumption. And so we're having to change order a jack and bore into that job, which is about 150 of the owner's allowance, 155. And then we had some overruns on quantities. So we started, there was on the water side of things, what is currently street will be future green space, but because it's currently street and will remain street throughout the construction project, they had full depth backfill per the city code. We've talked with the city and gotten approval to go ahead and come back in with existing material and not have to pay for the full depth backfill on those locations, but we did go through a good deal of the project. So that is some of the overrun quantities, but the bulk of the overruns are for backfill. We're about 75% of the way done with the water, and we've got about 10% of the sewer done on this project. And then we've got some maintenance work out at the 2 million gallon hydropiller. It's the east one, as they're basically twins of each other. But you can see it's just some minor work that needs to be touched up. on the inside of the tank there, some in the dry, some in the wet, but we will be coordinating with the field. We've got some maintenance work on the paint job that we did at 11th Street that needs to be performed as well. So we coordinated with KLM Engineering, and they were able to go out. They got three different bids from contractors that they trust, and we got a pretty good price at just shy of $29,000, $28,996. So we will try to get this work performed in coordination with field, make sure we don't have too many tanks down at the same time. And with that, I will let Mr. take over here with our inspection updates and kind of our new process of how we deal with inspection on our side of things.
Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Should be noteworthy, I was not nervous until 4 o'clock.
I'm not allowed.
I might ask a crazy question.
Bring it up, you. Thank you.
So I'm going to bring it up on your screens here. We implemented the inspection process through CityWorks recently. This is through the office tab. This is just a compilation of all the projects that we have going on currently. It's still developing. We'll have some that we need to add. But this is just kind of easy access for a lot of our users to get to it and then open a project and then have that 10,000 foot view of what's going on in the project. So I'm going to share that with you. I'm going to open a case that we currently have water and sewer work going on.
So this entails every project. When it first comes in the door, you enter, all the data is entered, and it resides there until it's closed out.
Correct. Yes, sir.
It gets updated along the way. So when we see that report, that the beginning of the report, that's all the reviews. Those reviews basically are
within this. Yes, sir. Now, a lot of the projects that were before CityWorks time, some of them were in the closeout process. Where you may not see them right now, but anything that comes in to our office now will be added through this process. So I just opened up one of our projects. This is Shane Tyson's place. And what this tells us here is I can look at this list here. This is a workflow. And I can see here that the water main has not been installed. It's not completed. What I can draw from assumptions on this project is they're installing water and sewer. So once that water is complete, they're gonna click complete. They're gonna tell us when the hydrostatic test was done. Push complete, chlorinated, samples taken from the health department.
When you refer to they, who are you talking? Who's doing the work that you're doing?
The contractors for the developer are doing the work. Our inspectors will be inputting this into this here, and they will be updating it. So it'll start to tell a story. So as we go down this list and samples have been collected, the water main status is going to be on. So if Mr. Brent he gets a call about Shane Tyson's place, but he hasn't been overlooking the job. He needs a quick synopsis. He can go here and let's say they've gotten to this point where the water main status is completed. He can draw the conclusion that they have fire suppression out on that job site. Samples have come back approved from the health department. And then that goes all the way down to the final inspection and walkthrough where we actually close out the project. So that's just the 10,000 foot view on this portion of it. Now our inspectors in the field will actually be using this portion.
But what you just described, that is a contractor. They're putting all that information in, and then we're basically inspecting to make sure.
Well, yeah, we're inspecting all of that.
So if they say there's a water main installed, they're putting that in, but yes. We then basically go out. Someone within our system goes out, verifies, and we validate that that's okay.
Yeah.
Now, we are the ones that are updating CityWorks here. So we will be the ones saying this is complete.
Okay, that's the part I was trying to figure out if you'd say.
This is all
it's us. It's not a contractor doesn't have access to it. They're just telling us they installed it. We then go out, we approve, and then once we've basically verified, we're updating this, so anybody in your system.
Correct. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
But they built this, we didn't have, you know, this was not easily available. Even to engineering. So this puts it all in one database, anybody can get to it very clear, and like Travis said, it tells a really great story.
Any notes or anything that needs to...
And then he'll get to where they can put pictures, notes, or everything.
It was dirt cheap software too, as I recall, Jerry. No, it's super cool though, it's good to see that. It looks practical.
Before this was all done, basically a manual process or Excel database, or how was it?
It was done through Excel, and it was not intuitive, and it was not easy.
Okay.
It made it very difficult for our inspectors to do their daily reports in any timely fashion. And with the amount of work we've had done, it was really easy to get behind on those. So this has kind of streamlined that process.
Perfect. Good. Thank you.
And this also, this area will give us a link to the parent case. And the parent case is where the engineers are storing their documents or submitting their documents, the plan reviews, and everything for that project. So if I want to see the updated grid stand plans, I'll be able to access that from here in the field as well. Our inspectors will be able to see that. So it's actually storing some of the data or documents we need to see in the field. They don't have to come back to the office to see the most recent set of plans. They can access it here. So I got a little out of order here. I'm going to back up here. My apologies.
Yeah, my apologies. I know I interrupted you, so I'll...
You know, I'll let you take the blame most of them.
I'll take it.
I'm kidding.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. So this is kind of an overview of all of the projects that we have going on. And it's split up between our inspectors. So I'm going to go to, we have Poplar Street Improvements, which you guys are familiar with, I'm sure. If you'll bear with me here, I'll get us there. And this is where our inspectors are putting all of their data in. I'm going to hide this map real quick for us. But I can go into his daily site visits. So if I need a little bit more of a detailed look into what's going in on the project, or there's issues, I can go into some of the daily site visits. You know, we'll get a water site visit. I can click onto that and I can see his daily comments right here. And typically there will be more than one, there'll be several. And then they're also adding images for this project. We're currently at about 100 images. And I'll share a couple of those with you. We got a trench box here, it looks like. You know, they're installing the water main. So what they're showing us here is how that water system's laid out. We've got the correct bedding, and this is gonna be attached to that asset for years to come. So if our crews are out in the future, they're gonna be digging this up. They can access this and be able to see what they're digging up instead of wondering, is this in the ground how our GIS says it is? So it gives them a little bit more confidence in what's going on the ground.
All the new guys have it easy then, huh?
They will have it easy, yeah. Now, we're going to make it really difficult for them to get to it.
Put in some booby traps.
Johnny's trying to assemble all the people that you used.
I think we...
So they're capturing pictures of everything from hydrants, valve clusters, the water pipe. You know, here's a picture of base, thrust block. So they should be capturing just a lot of pictures over the project. And I want to go in, I want to show you guys a created inspection. I kind of went in and I've pre-filled it out here. So we're still on the Poplar project. And everything in yellow, the GIS technician Brandon has done a great job and he's added. It's going to make a fool out of me, at least a little here. So we're going to give it a moment. But everything in yellow is going to be that proposed asset. It's going to be constructed. It hasn't been put in yet. That's why it'll be highlighted yellow, as we see there on this Can you guys see that right there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll zoom in. So this right here is existing water line, and we're coming off with a proposed water line here. So as we're still developing, I'll be able to select this fire hydrant, and I'll be able to create an inspection off of that proposed asset, and this will maintain, it'll be attached to that asset for the life of that fire hydrant. So I'm going to go ahead and create this inspection and kind of show you what that entails. You guys will bear with me while it loads. We've kind of made it a little bit easier. There's drop downs for the inspectors to click on, hydrants to grade. So we've got certain specs, you know, 18 to 24 inches from the ground. We're gonna click yes on that. Hydrant bury depth, there's different size hydrants. It can be beneficial to future crews working on this, on what depth that is. This wasn't always captured on our as-built, so they'll be able to see that when they look at this. Weed pole's not obstructed. This is more of an inspection task. They're going to make sure that it's still able to weep and drain after the hydrant's done being installed. Thrust block poured. And then another big part is we can capture the manufacturer. So Mueller or Plow, if we get a work order and they're saying that this hydrant needs to be rebuilt or it's difficult to operate, the crews are going to know what they need to grab off of the shelves to go work on this hydrant. They're not going to have to go visit the hydrant and then come back to the warehouse to get the parts they need. So we're hoping some of this information is beneficial. We're going to be able to do the same things with gate valves, meter box, meter lasers, all the appurtenances. Hopefully we'll be able to capture that data in here to help our field crews in the future. We can add pictures of these hydrant assemblies. And then we've also got universal custom fields that'll, you know, help us as we grow and we decide what else we want to capture with these. So that's kind of a quick synopsis. The fire hydrant being a good example, but we can do that on manholes, we can do that on valves. Every appurtenance we have will be able to capture with a similar inspection report, and it'll be attached to that asset. So the idea behind this was to just set up our future personnel for success and give them more than enough information for them to be effective in their job.
How hard is it when you're out in the field to do all this? I mean, it's like there's a lot going on. But, you know, obviously, this is as good as the information that gets put into it. And if it's not put in there, it doesn't do us a whole lot of good. So
I'm sure implementation takes a while, but once they get it, it's pretty cool.
Well, I can see, you can all see the benefits, but it's like anything, it's got to be done. If you don't put the right information in there, it's not going to help anybody down the road. Right. So it's obvious. And then I just wonder, sometimes it's great, but it takes, now I can only do so much during the day out in that field. Is there any work when they come back? I mean, you're downloading pictures and it worked pretty smooth. I mean, is it something that works pretty smooth?
Yeah, they have to believe in it. They have to know that it's, like Travis said, going to be helpful for us, and how important it is that this GIS is correct, because that's what we base a lot of decisions on now, and it needs to be correct. But I think everybody's, you know, we've got a lot of champions in this place, and the change is hard, but once they figure it out, it's not that way.
Well, the going forward, it's like anything, it's something new. I mean, I can see starting a brand new project moving forward, and all the older projects, those projects that are already in existence, are you going back out trying to update any of that information as you learn it to populate this?
Yeah, we always say right now we're doing a lot of the legwork. The real benefit will be folks 10, 20, 30 years
from now. Well, I applaud it. I think it's, you know, it's like, but again, it just takes time. And if you put it in there, you know, Johnny's not, you know, 20 years from now wondering what do we actually bury? And that's the challenge we all have, is we've got something buried, but what's down there until we dig it out, and then you got either a mess or you
come through. Yeah, and historically you had a few folks that have been here a long time, and that was your GIS. Yeah. Where is this? Sean, what do you remember about this place? Now you're putting all that institutional knowledge into this GIS.
Well, that's good.
And obviously, if they thought it was taking longer, causing a lot more time and not worth it, there's no value in it. We concern. It is fairly, I don't know that I call it intuitive, but they get the system.
They have. I've got an inspector on staff, and he swore that he would never get the City Works program. He said, I might as well go on my way because I'm being pushed out with this. And he has taken to this, and he's done a great job. So it may not appear to be intuitive, but he is rocking along with it. He's doing better with his inspection reports than ever, and he's done a great job. He actually likes it, which you would have never thought would come from his mouth. He's doing a great job. So it's kind of a testament to just how intuitive it is and how beneficial. They've got some buy-in. They want to see that it's put in accurately. And they're pretty proud of the system.
Well, let them know how much we appreciate that.
I feel like I'm watching a City Works commercial.
I know.
It's good to hear, though.
Yeah. So do they take an iPad to the field, or do they input the information directly there, or is there a step that they have to record something and then input it?
So we have three different inspectors, and they each do it three different ways. I got two that'll put it into the field with their tablet, and then one a lot of times will come in an hour early and do his report in that way as well. So it's utilized a couple different ways. So, we allow them that flexibility, with their schedules.
So, that's good leadership. Thank you.
Thank you,
sir. Aaron, thank you.
That's good stuff.
Thanks, Travis.
Thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Good work. Thank you so much. We'll let the early adopters or the adopters. I should appreciate it. How are you, sir?
Well, thank you, guys. Appreciate being here.
Thank you for being here.
The plant is operating really well, as you would expect, with no rain. And all we're getting is treatment, our sewer capacity. We have been able to keep the dryer moving along to keep up with our solids to this point, which is a big win for us. That rubbery joint is, I won't say it's doing well, but it's doing what it needs to. But we get closer to that delivery day every week we make it, so I think it might be okay. Obviously our pretreatment, they're doing well. Our surcharges, kind of been all over the map this year. Last year they were pretty consistent, but this year it seems like they're kind of up and down. I've noticed that when I looked at this report. I was a little bit surprised at how high that one was, and then like the previous month, it was quite a bit less. I remember, right? But nobody's given them any grief or anything like that. That we need help.
Could you go back to page 41? I just wanted to ask a comment. It's the paragraph there about those around poultry was issued notice violation. We see them; they are frequently on this list.
Yes.
And the second sentence is their system is inadequate and they are making plans to build anew. Those are things that usually take a long period of time.
They do.
So I just wondered, is there a plan to be? And we just kind of.
I just kind of go up. It's like we continue in this body, we plan 20, 30 years out and they're, well, it's inadequate, so we got to build something.
They do the same thing on an ROI basis.
Well, that's yes. What I just wondered. Is it cheaper for them to
pay this fine?
Yeah, it's cheaper to pay when you figure it. And I don't know what year to date is, but it looks to me like they've made a conscious decision to say it's easier to pay us than to go do that. So I was just.
Right. It is, but where it runs into trouble is so there's two different levels, if you will. There's a surcharge level and then a violation level. They try to ride that line right at the top of their surcharge. But the key is you'll notice, you've got the Tysons and Rogers has went to 6 days a week production. So their demand is really high. And so they're trying to maximize their demand without going into the violation. But they've also got a new crew work in there that doesn't really know how to optimize the equipment. And so what's ticked the calculus back into the favor of a new plant is the restriction on their production, more so than
the cost of treatment. So eventually, if they gather up enough of these violations in a row, we would eventually have to take action with them. And that's all, it's in our policy on how we handle that.
But the nexus for them is they, if they hit that, with the violations then or whatever, then they'd be the guy to slow down production.
Right.
So it's right. The problem. Okay, thank you. I just, that kind of jumped, and I think I know that I've asked that question probably somewhere in the past, but when you have a company that actually identifies, hey, we got an inadequate system, and we're going to make plans, you kind of go, okay, well, that's something you should have done a long time ago. So.
And I really thought you were going to ask me about something entirely different there when we started out. That would be an
end. What is the answer to
that? They have been trying to get plans approved for their improvements, but I've been running into trouble at the city to get all that. So I haven't. I was almost involuntarily involved in that because they were getting violations.
Well,
it was
well, not realizing that they, I just, again, when you start making plans, we're talking about, you know, again, you've got a plan. Is that a 3-5 or whatever? So
we do. We have rules and procedures on how we do that.
You got it.
And we'll continue to stick to that until we're told to do otherwise. And this may be a case where we would be, okay, but for other reasons. We won't worry about that until it comes to fruition, mostly.
Thank you.
But it's happening outside of my department, so I'm not really involved with it.
Todd, let me ask you real quick. So how often do we analyze the surcharge, and if we're actually, you know, if it's costing, if we're covering our cost and for their, you know, they're going over in their pollutants?
We established this at our last rate study.
Okay.
Is when we did that. I don't think we did that on this rate study. I don't think we looked at the surcharges. Oh, we did. We will. I know we had looked at. Yeah, we had looked at changing for sure. So right now we just measure ammonia. That's NH3. That's ammonia nitrogen. And not that I think anybody is doing it, but somebody who is unscrupulous could actually trick this and still load us heavy. And so that's the key that would really be fixed. I mean, our rates are probably a little bit low because our electric bills went up and our gas bill is actually outside of the COVID time period is actually stayed pretty close. But so those would be the two things for our solids handling and our electric usage. It's what most of this is affected by is how hard we've got to run our aerator.
Right, right.
So that's the impact primarily. But we do, whenever we did our rate study last time, that's when they looked at that.
Okay.
All right. It's very cost effective for us to treat,
yeah,
on a scale.
Sure, I'm sure that's right. And but it would also, if it starts costing them even more, then it might be push them to do whatever the pretreatment, if they're paying us a whole lot more to do it, so whatever that.
There's a fine line. The EPA has rules and regulations on how our pretreatment program is run, and we can't be punitive in our fines.
Sure.
So that's the reason why we had a rate study. We had a consultant do with our rate study so that we couldn't be accused of trying to jack the rates up to do that. It has to legitimately be our cost of treatment by the EPA rules.
Right. No, that's fair. I mean, that's but you want to be sure that we're at least covering what it's costing us.
Right.
The
hidden cost that is really difficult to capture is the capacity that they're taking. I don't see how you could capture it, but you know, if we've got 300 horsepower of aeration running at 75% and it could be running at 60%, then we're limiting our treatment capacity elsewhere. So, and they haven't really paid an access or impact fee for that aeration. And I don't know how you assess it, but in the nebulous, that is a cost that we can't really capture.
Can't identify, can't get that. Got it.
Well, I think the message is, at least I think collectively, is that we obviously have a cost of doing business,
right,
and we have an expectation that our cost is going to be, you know, covered, and again, not being punitive, but let's cover what we have to do,
right,
and they have a responsibility on their side.
Yeah.
I assume they're happy to pay it, aren't they?
Sure.
I mean,
I'm sure they are.
I mean, nobody likes writing a check. I think they would like to do it for no charge, but yes, they would much rather write a check for us to do it
and build their own
than writing a check for them to do it for more. I mean, they clearly run into trouble keeping staffing,
yeah,
in those areas. You know, it seems like that's the primary comment I get back from Paul and Amber whenever they go out to these, is, oh, another new person in the treatment facility. You know, we're having to teach them where this is at and what we're looking for versus, you know, somebody who's been doing it for years and knows, you know, hey, whenever they're running barbecue sauce or you know, buffalo wings or whatever, then their aeration requirements are going to be significantly more, or, you know, whatever the thing is for their plant, somebody with experience already knows how to handle it or deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions?
No. Nope. Okay.
Good.
I'm glad you shared that other comment, because I was afraid I missed something.
No. Let's see. I think we're having some areas where we're seeing some issues with the collection system, and Amber is trying to work with our operations team and maybe increase her frequency of inspections on those places. We feel like maybe there's a potential that some of our grease interceptors have been oversized and things are setting in the grease interceptors and becoming septic and causing problems with the hydrogen sulfide. And so the thing may be that we have to pump those out more often to keep those from getting also septic. But that's what this is what this comment here is about. It's actually a fairly significant comment, so I wanted to point that out. As I mentioned, the rotary joint, trying to minimize that leaking from that. Our replacement is on track. We're keeping close ties with the manufacturer on that. We're still looking for a replacement operator that we moved over to maintenance. We're expecting, and it has happened. We've got groundbreaking. It happens to be that it's out in the solar field, but they're working now, so they're on site. They're ready to go. This is something else I've never reported before. We had 266 million gallons in September. 30 times 9, that's 270. That's 4 million gallons more than we actually treated. So my low flow estimate is actually about 0.1 high. I don't figure I'll adjust it. We'll grow into 8. We'll grow into 9 by the end of the time next year rolls around. But there was only 0.06 of rain. It was really trace amounts in 3 different days in September. So it was really, really dry. Normally you get almost 4 inches. So it is really, really dry. That's what I can say about that. But yeah, I estimate this looking at previous dry weather flows for the previous year, and we were averaging about 9. And I don't cut it as fine as 0.1 inches. that was what that's about. So I've never had it where we treated 4 MGD less than we should have. Or 4 million gallons, not 4 MGD, 4 million gallons less.
Thank you, sir. Good report. Okay, so with this, we have no old business, so we're going to move on into new business. The first item under new business is Resolution 24-28, and that is title generator bid. So, Todd, would you like to go and present that?
Yes. So,
it's a resolution authorizing Rogers Water Utilities to purchase a used generator offered for sale by Northwest Arkansas Conservation Authority, authorizing a bid range up to and not to exceed $100,000, authorizing expenditure of funds for purchase to any competitive bidding and for other purposes.
Yes, this is another first. This has been a learning experience for me this month. But because of of me being on the board at NACA and also helping Mike out over there occasionally. He let me know that they were going to be doing a sealed bid for their existing generator. Whenever they expanded, that one would no longer cover their needs. They had to have a new generator. It's not what we would ask for. If we were just going to go, hey, we need to upgrade our generator or add to our generator, it's not probably what we would look for. And so that's why the range I'm looking for is really low. It is probably $2.5 to $3 million generator just to buy it new. But what it has going for us is it's pretty much the same size as we have now. So it would serve as a redundant for what we have now. In the meantime, as we move forward with our projects that we have on the books, if we needed to cut costs somewhere, we could run these two generators in parallel and run the whole plant. Ideally, what you would like to have is a generator that can run the whole plant, because what you've introduced is two points of failure in that scenario. So it's not what we would typically ask for a replacement generator. However, I feel like if we can get this within that range, I feel like it's a good purchase for RWU to be able to pick up that generator, because right now, if our generator goes out, we're, I think I heard right at 2 years out on the replacement generator. And you know, parts are a lot of times 6 to 7 months out. Because it's a three-phase, it's a 13.2 kV generator. They're just not everywhere. That's also why I feel like we can give this for a pretty good deal, because not many people want it. And since he's not going with like an auction site, like, you know, a GovDeals or a Blue Wave or something like that, he's just going to advertise for sealed public bids. Probably not a lot of people can do that. Well, that brought me to, and I appreciate Robert's help this week, like, how do we go about purchasing on a sealed bid? Because I usually have to come to you and get, you can write a check for this amount for, you know, a large purchase on it. Well, it's a sealed bid. I don't want some other company to go FOIA our meeting minutes or look on our meeting minutes online and go, oh, well, he's authorized to do this. That much plus a penny, and I've won. So that's why the range is there. So that's the reason that it's worded the way it is. But I'd be happy to entertain questions. I feel like I'm probably leaving something out.
Oh, you've covered well. And basically, it's a not to exceed is the request.
And what was the dollar amount?
It's a 1.5 megawatt generator. More specifically, the actual.
What does it say? It's engine, not. I think there's another page. I remember.
It's just got a 1.5 head on it.
Travis, the question is the dollar amount.
Yeah.
It's not to exceed, what he asked for the range was 30, but it was not to exceed 100,000. So what we would be approving, or what we're being asked to approve, is to give Brent and his team up to $100,000. They'll seal, they're going to do whatever they're going to do, but the range was 30 to 100. And so what we're being asked, and so with this, we're authorizing a bidding range, and I had worded it not to exceed $100,000. So that gives you the authority to do up to that, whatever you all collectively make that decision. So the resolution would be for the purchase of a used generator for the sale of from NACA, authorize a bidding range not to exceed $100,000, and we're also waiving competitive bidding too. So that's what's before us.
Do you really think $100,000 will buy it?
Not
really.
If it goes over that, it really wasn't worth it for us. And that's why I was saying it's not really what we're. It's not what we would typically. It's like if we were going, hey, we're going to go buy a generator. I'm probably going to come to you and go, I need a 3 megawatt generator instead of 2 1.5.
But we like $100,000 better.
$100,000 is a lot better, because a 3 megawatt generator, by the time we get it installed with everything we would need, it's going to be, you know, in the $3 to $5 million range. So,
yeah.
Right. So I'm trying to hedge our bets in the because our generator has a lot of hours on it. Number one, because we do load shed with it, and it's been in there since 2008, doing load shedding every year. So it's got a lot of hours on it.
Does this one have a lot of hours?
No. It's only been used as backup. It's only got like 75. It's got less than 100 hours on it.
It becomes an asset, and it's like anything, it's got value, and if we
sounds they really need to go after it.
Well, so. Sounds like it's worth more than $100,000.
It's worth significantly more than that to the right person. I think what I'm suggesting is probably the right person isn't going to be prepared to do the sealed bid.
Well, we...
Interesting.
So we have before the position 24-28. Again, the bidding range, not to exceed 100,000. And with that, I would entertain a motion.
So I'll make a motion on resolution number 24-28, authorizing Rogers Utilities, Water Utilities, to purchase a generator offered for sale by Northwest Arkansas Conservatory Authority, Conservation Authority, authorizing a bidding range not to exceed $100,000, authorizing expenditure of funds for the purchase, waiving competitive bidding, and for other purposes.
I'll second.
We have a motion, second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that we approve resolution 24-28. Okay, the next item, Todd, you have is resolution 24-29. That's a resolution renewing a contract with Border Town Farm LLC. Let's see, that's a one-year extension for the purchase and removal of biosolids from the Rogers Pollution Control Facility and for other purposes.
Yes, this we previously had three bidders that won this contract. The other two have eliminated themselves through not following the contract. Border Town has been very good, and always paid on time, always picked up on time, always did well. And I just would like to go ahead and extend their contract at the existing rate that they agreed to purchase on. It would be still contingent on them signing it before I'm certain that they will.
Okay. And that's just for extension for a one-year period from November the 3rd to of 24 to November the 3rd of 25. So just a one-year extension. Okay, you... have a few resolution 24-29 to extend that contract with Border Town LLC. I would entertain a motion.
I would make a motion to approve resolution
24-29. Second. Is that what I need to do? Do you need any more?
No.
All right. I'll second.
Okay, a motion and a second to approve resolution 24-29. And that's renewing the contract with Border Town Farm LLC for a one-year period for the purchase and removal of biosolids from the pollution control facility. Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. That approves resolution 24-29. Thank you. The next item we have is item number 3, and this is amendment number 5. To the agreement for professional services between RWU and Hawkins Weir Engineers.
Project. So it is for $2,400,000, and this will be included into their existing project, bringing the total to the $5,607,400. And this is for the inspection services. We're expecting the process to take about 20 months, so we're almost at a year. This is pretty technical installation. There's a lot of details, a lot of complicated things being installed here. We want to make sure that it's all working. And then, of course, we've got a lot of government red tape that we need to keep paperwork on. So we've got our wage rules, we've got our steel rules, we've got a lot of documentation that needs to be accounted for in this as well. So it is proportionally consistent with what other projects do come in at. But that's why we feel comfortable requesting this amount.
Question. So with this, had we anticipated this all along, and that's why we have this as an amendment, or was it? Kind of give me if you would. So obviously, I mean, it's a large dollar amount,
sure.
And we're being asked as an amendment to an agreement that takes us up to 5.6 million. So help me understand, did we not anticipate on the front end? Was it not part of the original? So
traditionally,
I'm just trying to understand how we get to a pretty big number. So
right, traditionally we do not include inspection. We bid out with an engineer. I say bid out. That is not the correct word we use. But traditionally, we go to the engineering firm. Once we select them, it is through bidding. And then once we have the final plans, once we have the final designs, then we go back to the engineer and request for the additional inspection on top of that.
Do they inspect their own work, or are they inspecting someone else's work?
They're inspecting someone else's work, but part of the issue with establishing the inspection work ahead of time is you don't know the scope of the project until the design is complete. Okay. So you know, we didn't know what kind of scheduling we were going to have. We sure didn't know how many submittals we were going to have, and all that's an unknown at the beginning of the project. Okay. So we typically wait until all that is known before we establish.
Did we have any type of estimate? Do we?
Yes.
We're
within our budget.
We're within what you anticipated. Okay. That's really where I was saying. It's just, it's a large, that's a big amount. 2.4 million, it's over almost half. So I just want to have a better understanding of.
Sure. Yeah, if I could. I mean, yeah. Brett Peters is with, and Josh.
Thank you for being here.
You might be able to elaborate.
Yeah, so Brett Peters, Hawkins Weir, I'm company president. With me today is Josh Durham, manages our Northwest Arkansas office, but also is the PM on your project from day one through design and bidding. So how I would probably answer that question is these expenses are anticipated, but are typically deferred until, to Todd's point, until the scope can be defined. And then you can make sure that you're within those percentage ranges that you would expect for any construction-based services. The only thing that I would add to that, really, when you look at the fees, so our team, we also have a sub-consultant in Black and Beach that was very much a part of this design process from day one, but it also includes testing services for your project. So any concrete soils density testing as part of the project, that's rolled into our scope of work. Aaron mentioned this project, Crossland Heavy's project, is being paid with NRD funds or CWSRF funding, so there's a lot of strings to that money in that we've got to do Davis Bacon wage compliance monitoring, got to make sure American Iron and Steel AIS requirements are met, as well as disadvantaged business enterprise, DBE, WBE enterprise requirements. So based on a percentage, I would say probably of the 2.4, about a third of that is actual inspection services, and the rest is submittal reviews, ongoing engineering. There's quite a bit of startup. So once the contractor gets to that point, when they commission and start up the project, our team will be very heavily involved making sure that equipment operates the way it was designed and intended to before we hand off the keys to Todd. So.
And the documentation.
Sure, yeah. Obviously, preparing record drawings for the project. We'll be also developing the O&M manuals that go along with it. And it's, as you probably recall, it's larger than just a dryer building project. You know, it's also some maintenance building modification updates, and there's some other, quite a bit of utilities that have to be relocated. I know we're moving a fueling station.
Solar panels. Moving the solar panels.
Well, thank you for being here, and thank you for your comments, and Todd, thank you. Well, what we have before us again is amendment of the staff recommendation for approval of amendment number 5 of the agreement for professional services between RW and Hawkins Weir. So that's what's before us, and it's an amount not to exceed $2,400,000 for construction phase services, allowing staff to negotiate final form and content. And that's what's before us for the recommendation.
I make a motion to approve amendment number 5 between Rogers Water Utilities, Hawkins Weir Engineers.
Second.
Motion second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that amendment is approved. Thank you. And again, thank you for being here. Okay, we're going to move then to item number 4. This is a bid results for manhole rehab. Aaron, if you would quickly.
Thank you. So we went out to bid for our manhole rehab for this year. So I mentioned earlier we finished up last year's. We had a pretty good turnout on this one. We had 5 different bidders. Our estimate was around 770. And we came in with Kim Construction at 660. We talked with a few different people asking about Kim. Apparently, they do pretty good work. Apparently, they like to wait till close to the end of the contract and then just send 10 crews out and knock it out in a week. So, but we did hear they did good work consistently. So we were asking for approval of Kim Construction to do our manhole rehab this year.
A question.
So go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Please, I was just saying the 2025, is that a calendar? Is it, when it says 2025, is that work to be completed in 2025? Or is that work to be from our calendar year, our fiscal year? I'm just trying to understand what that, the 2025. So nothing would happen in the balance of this year. We're looking, this is all to be done in the calendar of 2025.
We've gotten a little off on our FYs. Originally, that's what it was intended, and we've had some discussion. So this one is going to span FYs.
It stretches over the, okay.
Correct. Okay. We've got a year on the contract, and that's what we've tried to do with these. So we've got 3 different bids for maintenance construction on the sewer side. And we tried to have a year time span for that, trying to let people be flexible when they do the work, because we didn't need it done today, but we do need to make sure that we continue to improve the sewer system. And we try to get a little bit better pricing with that flexibility from the contractors. We plan on, after this one, getting in alignment with FYs and being more consistent, but this one does span
FYs. Okay, it covers.
Okay, I was just surprised at the difference in the bids, so that, you know, that's significant. So that's what I was trying to understand, is did they all know exactly what they were bidding on, and why would one be so much further out there? But it sounds like you've checked the one that you're looking at, and so that's significant.
So I'm just thinking, you mentioned the end of that contract.
That's good.
Can you all structure the contract where they can't do that, where you have work along the way? Is that what you would prefer to have the work done? Or does it matter?
We're not 20 of them, if they can wait for the last minute to do it.
These contracts are that flexibility.
So you think it's just, that's it? They're just used to working in.
As long as y'all manage it, that's good. Okay, so what we have before us, the staff recommends the acceptance and approval of the bid from Kim Construction Company in the amount of $660,256.50 for the 2025 manhole rehab project. And with that, I'd entertain a motion.
Motion to approve the manhole rehabilitation contract with Kim Construction.
Second.
Travis. Motion second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Manhole project has been approved. The next item is item number 5 on our agenda, and that's the pipe bursting sewer rehab.
So this is a very similar situation. We only had 2 bidders on this one, and this is actually the same 2 bidders that we had last year. We pretty much the exact same result. We ended up switching around. This is more done in access for maintenance. What we originally intended, and this is pretty much the same bid as last year, because due to the tornado damage, we ended up shifting a lot of these items to be more related to the tornado damage, so we're doing what we intended to do last year, this year. So we recommend accepting the bid from Horseshoe Construction. They did good work for us. They won last year. They were just a little bit lower than Bennett last year as they are this year. They've done good work. We've been happy with them. We recommend accepting Horseshoe Construction this year.
Aaron, thank you. Okay, commission members, we've got a recommendation for the acceptance and approval of the bid from Horseshoe Construction in the amount of $853,016 for the 2025 pipe bursting sewer rehab project. And with that, I entertain a motion.
I would make a motion to approve Horseshoe Construction for the 2025 pipe bursting sewer rehab.
Second.
Motion second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries for the 2025 pipe bursting sewer rehab. Thank you.
Our last one up is for our CIVD.
Okay, that's the Hank. So this one will be the security places.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right.
And we've actually, we kind of tightened up our specs on our CIVD. We were introduced to some UV lining, and it was it allows us to keep a lot more capacity in our sewer mains, which is something that's more important on the smaller ones. And it's a very, very good product. There's numerous people that do it, but we didn't have a whole lot of people come in, and the Gulf Coast apparently didn't need the work they were hired on the bids that they did do for us. I was kind of surprised that it was this high.
Mm-hmm.
But we do, Humbar does very excellent work. We're very happy with them. We worked with them quite a bit. If you remember, they did our sewer main underneath I-49, and then we added on the 12-inch, and they've done that as well. And it's been very good working with them. So we recommend accepting the bid from Humbar.
Okay.
Again, staff recommendation for the acceptance and approval of the bid from Humbard Contracting Inc. in the amount of $1,139,959 even for the 2025 CIPP sewer rehab.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Travis, discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to approve the 2025 CIPP sewer rehab. Okay, so the last one we have, item number 7, which is bid results for Fifth and Walnut water and sewer replacement.
So we originally went out to bid with this one and got no bidders. Then we asked 3 different companies, and I got no bids as well. Then I went out to 3 more companies. So I've had 6 different companies looking at this one, Ross and Co. Construction. They actually came back with a number out of all 6. The numbers are pretty consistent with other bids that we've gotten. This is kind of a tight site. It is just the intersection at 5th and Walnut. And so it's a little bit more technical. It's a little bit smaller space and a little bit tighter construction, as well as coordinated with the city of Rogers to put in some storm drains as well. If you remember, we had a little bit of a collapse over in this area. The city of Rogers would like to get this rebuilt, specifically the street department. So they've been kind of pushing this one to move forward quickly. And that is why we've done it in this fashion. But they came back with a pretty reasonable price, if you like, at the $357,000.
Where's Ross out of?
They're local. I can't remember. I think they're out of Springdale, but I could be, but they are local. They're up here.
But a company like this that we've not, I'm just tagging on this. I mean, we go through a process of underwriting a company like this. So there's somewhere in the system, someone's underwritten these people, and the
concern was we had no bids, and all of a sudden someone said, hey, I'll give it a shot at 357. So is it a good thing, or?
And we've mentioned.
Have we underwritten them in any way?
How desperate are we?
They have done work for us before. When we pick the companies that we request some bids from, we know them.
But they meet some minimal criteria.
They are licensed. They are capable of doing work according to licensing from the state. And then we've talked with our inspectors, and they liked the work coming out of this company. So they are one of the companies that we asked due to that fact.
Well, I yield you all, but you guys see.
And then the numbers.
It says they're Northwest Arkansas.
It was one of those.
Oh, actually, it says.
Well, it's like that one before. It's 3.2.
It's Skokie. Unless they've got more than one.
I'm not familiar.
If we mess up, we can strike this.
May have another sign.
They were in line. They were a little bit higher than some of our larger projects, but this is a condensed project. There's a lot of traffic control on it, and it's not just greenfield construction. It is up and down. It is in that intersection.
Okay. So staff recommends the acceptance and approval of the bid from Ross & Co. Construction in the amount of $357,362.33 for the 5th and Walnut water and sewer replacement. With that, I'd entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Second.
I have a motion, second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries to approve Boston Co. construction. And the last item is, as we kind of see today, we've got Kathy's out. We've also had a seat that has been vacant for, I think since probably about May, but we have someone who I think has been qualified to serve, has experience with RWU, actually was an employee, had been on the commission before, became an employee now. Jenna Hudson-Gilreath is the company works at our desk. And so with that, I would recommend that we approve the appointment of Janae Huffman-Gilreath to serve out basically the remaining term for the water vacancy for Water and Sewer Commission position.
Do you need a motion?
I need a motion. Make a recommendation if you would like a motion, second, please. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I would make a motion.
So Travis.
To approve appointment of Janae.
Second.
Motion second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Approved. And then this, as we know, I'm sorry, sir.
It goes to the city council.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Thank you. I think it's already on the agenda for tomorrow. But again, we appoint, but then they'll have to make final say. So it's, I believe, on the agenda for tomorrow's this meeting. So with that, thank you all for attendance, and I apologize, we're 17 minutes beyond the hour, but with that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Spent a lot of money today.
Motion second, we're adjourned.
Motion second.